Chavit Rebbe Josh Fluke for many of these sources and how to put them together. It's a little bit of a complicated thing to figure out how to analyze it. We all know what it is, but it's still okay. How does one find parallel cases to the use of connections? So I'll give a few possible questions off the bat. Number one, the police benevolent, they call it society, or the assumption is you give them some money, the least benevolent association. Right, so a couple of years ago someone gave me a card that said clergy on it. Didn't use it that year, but right, you give money, and in theory you get some kind of sticker, you put it on your car, and in theory they'll have Rachmanis, or not, you know. Unofficially, they might have Rachmanis on you if they pull you over. So is that the form of seeking connections, right? Another example. So a person has something in their car that's a problem and won't pass inspection because of it. But, you know, there's won't pass inspections because the brakes don't work, and you might not pass inspection because there's some small light or whatever that's wrong. So you bring it in. You don't want to fix it. It's going to cost whatever it is to fix it. So instead, you bring them a box of donuts, a cup of coffee, and say, here's my car to be inspected, right? Hoping that maybe they'll overlook it, right? So, and this works differently in different states. Here, for inspection, you bring your car to your mechanic. When I was in Arizona, they have state inspection centers, right? You got to bring your car, you line it up, and I don't really know exactly what they're doing. You don't have to get your car inspected that often there, but they say, it's all in the machine, and there's actually no human part to it at all. At least that's what they claimed. Okay, and then
for the emissions. But the mechanical part.
Right, I'm not sure what they were checking. Maybe they're only checking emissions, and you have to. I don't remember the story. Okay, and then the third possibility is what people do often, right? You call, you have a problem with something in the shul, or a community member needs something, so the rabbi perhaps might have connections to a few politicians. Makes a phone call, would you mind taking care of this quickly? Right? Instead of taking 3 months, all of a sudden it could take 3 days. So is that appropriate? Is that appropriate from either side? Is that appropriate on the politician's end? And is that appropriate on your end? So all of these, if you think about it, they're ways of, they're giving bribes. Now we generally associate, bribes is actually found in last week's Parsha, in fact in the Pasuk after we spoke about, right? Pasuk Vav is lo sita mishpat evyonecha beribo. You should not pervert the judgment of a poor man in his way. You shouldn't change things because a person is poor. Midvar sheker tirchak, you have to stay far away from falsehood. Okay, do not kill a truly innocent person who has been declared innocent. I will vindicate the guilty person. And you're not allowed to accept a bribe, because a bribe is going to blind the person that can see clearly and corrupt the words that are right. So you're not allowed to accept bribes. But this pasuk appears in Dvarim as well. It might be for different reasons. One might be talking about monetary law, one might be talking about criminal law, but right, we're pretty familiar with that idea that a judge is not allowed to accept a bribe. Okay, comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, Ma'od ma'od tzarech hadin dayin lizayher shel likach shochad afilu lizchusat tzaka. A judge has to be very, very careful not to accept any bribes, even if he's going to be, even the person offering the bribe is the one who's going to win anyways. You're still not allowed to accept that bribe. Sif Beis. Im kodem hatoveya v'shalach mincha ledayin kodem sheyizami lenitba ledin. Right, if the toveya, the one who is the plaintiff, sends a gift to the dayan before it becomes time for the pasuk in the halacha, ein hanitba yachol leposlo. So the one who is the defendant is not allowed to paslo. Right? He can't say, "Oh, wait a second, you guys have a relationship. You gave him, you lent him." That's not enough. It had nothing directly related to the case. El im kain. A dayan rotsa lahashoch atzmo miyoso adin mibidus chasidus. However, if the dayan could excuse himself from that case based on the midas chasidus, which would be an extra form of piety, he doesn't have to, but he might be nervous. The Rama adzin kagon sheyodeya shniskariv daito lazeh, that he knows that he's might be pulled one way or the other. So it's not, oh, mi chasidus because I might be pulled one way or the other. And a judge thinks about it, says, oh, this might have an impact on me, so therefore he's going to excuse it. I don't think it's a mi chasidus to be suspicious that it might. It's only, I think, a mi chasidus if you kind of are already there that it is. Okay? So that is, those are the general halachos of accepting bribes, but so far these cases only have to do with judges, right? None of the examples I gave before are necessarily judges. Right? They're not, the policeman is not a judge, right? Hence the policeman has to go to court. Right? He's not. So does this idea of bribery extend beyond actual judges? So Gemara has the following story: Ki ha
davar
chama, right? Kapal nafsha, that it was assumed or accused. Bar chama was accused of killing somebody. That was the accusation out. So Amarish kalusuler of Abba Bar Yaakov, puk ayinba ivadai katal likiyuhu leene. He says, go see if it's true. If it's true, they actually did this killing. So go blind him. That's what his punishment is going to be. So what is this? What's going on here? So it doesn't sound like it's a regular. It's not a din Torah. It's not a judge, right? He's asking somebody to go and investigate the matter, and he'll be subject to the following punishment. So so the Gemara goes on for a while. The purpose of this Gemara is not really about this, but rather about witnesses. They find a couple of witnesses, and then he manages to apostle all the witnesses, and that's the story. But Kam Bar Chama, so at the end he gets off the hook. He's off the hook. He's free. So Kam Bar Chama,
not put his eyes out.
So right, he doesn't get his eyes poked out, he's allowed to go free. So Kam Bar Chama Nashke Achraya. So comes Bar Chama and he kissed the feet of Rav Abba Bar Yaakov, the Kavli Lacharge the Chule Shanya. And he exempted him from taxes for the entire year. So that's so he exempted him from taxes for the entire year. So that's interesting, right?
The rest of his life, actually.
It says here. What's here?
In English, that you printed.
Oh. No. I didn't print any English for that. Oh, I did?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, I put it later. Right. I printed mine, and then I put it a little later. The Chulish Shnia for all his years. Okay. I thought it was for you. Okay, for all of his years. Fine. So, either for you or all of his years, that sounds pretty bribish. Oh, thank you. Well, let me see what favor I could do for you. Now, the truth is, you could say, well, it's after it happens. After it happened, you give them a gift. Yeah. But even that, you know, that's the Basin of America actually has a policy that they won't accept a donation from somebody who they did a din Torah for at least a year, depending on the circumstances. But they won't accept any donations from them. So over here, he seems to. So what's going on? So comes the rush and says, well, it quotes that Gemara, Kum Bar Chama, Nashki Achray, and then the last couple of, then that period, and the rush's comment is, Uvalav Hachi Betir Rabbanu Micharga, Hilkach Lo Have Keshulchan Miuchar. He says, even without this, Rabbanan are exempt from paying this tax. Right? The Rabbanan were exempt anyways. The Rosh is asking, how can he give this bribe? No, it's not a bribe. He's exempt. He's already exempt before he entered the picture. He was just pointing out for him, or maybe he'd get him the letter, or he'd sign it, or whatever. He'd make it easier for him to get it. But he was already exempt from this specific tax. That's what the Rosh claims. I mean, the question is, isn't this bribery? The Rosh answers, no, it's not, because he already was exempt. Now,
who did he pay?
Who did he pay?
Maybe I'm missing something here, but Rabbi Bar Chama is going to pay.
No, he didn't pay it. He got him off of it. Rabbi Bar Chama. Oh, okay.
What about poll tax?
What?
Is it elections? Is it poll tax?
It's poll tax. Oh,
this is the Sancino translation. I don't know. That's what I got a hold of. But the words of the Gemara just simply mean that he got him off some kind of tax. And the claim is that his claim is that it's not because he paid it, it's because he just got him off. All right, so that's why it's not Shochad. Okay. Comes the Sefer Pilpulei Charifta. The Pilpulei Charifta is a commentary on the bottom of the Rush, written by Rav Yom Tov, I believe, the Tosfos Yontif. The first thing person wrote the Tosfos Yontif on the side. Lipman Heller. I think I was about to say that. It might have been somebody else. Yom Tov Lipman Heller, famous, the Rav of Krakow. He is the Rav in the Yassel of the Holy Miser story. You're familiar with the Yassel of the Holy Miser story? When people, the guy was a miser and then he died, and then the next day they were going to bury him at the far end of the cemetery, and the next day the Rav got all these people knocking on his door asking for money. He says, well, it was last week. Right, so that famous story. So the Rav said, I can't believe he's already buried, so I'm going to be buried at the far end of the cemetery with this fellow to give him chashivas. So that was him. That was Rav Yom Tov Lipman Heller. And if you go today to the Krakow Cemetery, Ad Hayom Hazeh, if you walk right in, there is the area for the Rabbanim, that's where the Roma is, and the famous Krakow Rabbanim, all the way in the back corner. So that you see the kever, the matseva for Tosfos Yontif still stands, and I'm not sure whether it's next to him or diagonal from him, but it's true. So on the Wikipedia page that I checked yesterday, the it's listed under myths and. Something else, which implied like not true, but it seems like it could be true. Anyway, so what does he say? He comments on this rush, and he says that's very interesting. He quotes this story that that this would be prohibited, meaning even paying it afterwards would be a problem. He compares it to ribbis. And then three lines from the bottom where it says, Vav Aleph Pehe, Vafilu Hachi, Mefarish Rabbeinu, the Kabi Alea Karaga de Shalo Binderach Shochad, Haya, Kasafti Ze Lahoros, Le Nechmanim, Linisnamnim, Al Hatzibur, Apple Pisha Indinayim Din Torah, Velonis Kabul Lakach, Afilu Hachi, Zharam Mil Kabul Matanos Aldinayim. I mean, the Tosfos Yontif is not so concerned with the answer of the Rush as much as he is concerned with the question of the Rush, right? The Rush asks, isn't this shochad? Isn't this a bribery?" Right? No. We'll find a reason why it's not bribery. So comes the Pipuli Charifta and says, "Why is the Rush even asking that? It's not a judge." It's not a classical case of a right? It says, no, he was appointed on the tzibur. He was appointed by the Reish Galusa to do this work. If he is appointed, right, he's already subject to the bribery prohibitions, even though it's not a formal court case. That's the extension that the Pipuli Charifta makes. Okay, so we now have extended bribery not just to cases of a judge, but now to cases of elected officials, or public, not even elected, but public officials. Right? Comes the tshuva of the Chassam Sofer, and the more things change, the more they say the same. Anshe Kal Kadosh Plonis. The people asked from the place of Plonis. Plonis is the same as saying... the middle of nowhere, Yehupitzville, right? So the people of Yehupitzville ask the following question. He's asked Yachab b'nei Akihilu l'kaba aleihem rav u'mora, that the people got together to hire a rabbi. V'hayim eskimei al dalad rabbanim, they agreed to four finalists. Litnum el tocha klafe, to be the ones that would be considered. U'mishiyala mehem risho, and they would have a vote. U'mishiyala mehem risho, and yachzu risho l'anshi akal kalash. Whoever came in first place would be asked to become the Rav of the town.
Often means a lottery,
no, it doesn't mean a lottery. It means they were voting. So they voted, and Rav Yaakov Shmerel won. So Achar Iza Yamim Haya Kol Hamon Soar. Right after a couple of days, there was a voice that ran out. Ki harbe mi anshe hakal kadosh kiblu shochad mamun mikrove harav hahu. Because there are several people of the community that received money from Rav Yaakov Shmerel's cousin to make sure that Yaakov Shmerel gets elected. What happens to the election? So that was the child. Now you understand why it's Kal Kadosh Yehubitzel, right? Because we didn't want to say where it was from. So Ibra b'Ikra din Nira b'Vaday. So the Chassam Sofer answers: Im himatzu yimatzu beiz edim ksheirim she'inam mivnei hakal kadosh v'lo mikrovehem v'lo mikrovi harav she'yidu shemi anshe kal kadosh kiblu shochad. If you could prove it, just because it's a rumor, so it's a rumor. You know, people who liked Rav Shmerel Beryl didn't like the Yankel, so they're starting the rumor. So if you could prove it, right? Im kein pashut kibiyei mikuscha. It is as simple as eggs and kusach. What is eggs and kusat? What is that? So that's an expression from the Gemara. What?
Kusat is like a sour cream.
Sour cream.
So kusat is the classic food in the Gemara that's both milchix and chametz. So it's used for both of those things. So it's as simple as... So what is this based on? This is a Gemara in Ksuvus that talks about how you have to ask... You're not allowed to pass the childless when your rub is around. And even those pashat childless. What's the most pashat childless that's asked? So the Gemara says, afilu kubia b'kuscha. Even if an egg... Even if the shaila is an egg in an egg in a milchix dish, right? Someone asks you, can I eat this egg in the milchix dish? Oh, I can't paskin if the rub is nearby. So that's an expression for a very simple shaila. So Sam Sofer says, it's as simple to me as that shaila, right? That appointment is going to be nullified. Sharei hayat tzrichi lomer the usum l'shem shemayim, because k'moshikasav harama bagos reisham l'chir. He says both, because first of all, the idea it has to be l'shem shemayim. The whole thing has to be l'shem shemayim. This is not obviously not being settled in a way that's l'shem shemayim. Right? They're not doing l'shem shemayim. They're doing it l'shem the money that's being offered to them in order to vote for Shmuel Beryl, and that's why the thing. That's why it's going to be nullified. And then finally, it also says at the end. Because these people that are supposed to vote, at the bottom line, right? It would be mevatel even min haTorah, and that's the language of the Rama. Tuvei hakal hamamuni lasuk b'tzarchi rabim, right? Harehim kedayanim v'asul hoshvinehem mishapasul adin mishum risha, right? That those people are considered like judges, people that are chosen, appointed over the kal. They're like judges, right? And therefore they're not going to be accepted. The word decision was based on bribery. Okay, so that is the conclusion of the Chassam Sofer, right? That clearly this is extends way beyond just the simple case of the judges, but even to all community officials. So just going back to some of our questions, right? One of our questions: so a politician looking for votes. Right, so he does favors on behalf of a specific community, right? Because they're asked, why does a politician do it? Because either he'll get campaign donations, right? Hopefully he'll do it because he's a nice, you know, he's doing the donation, etc. But you know, the facts are, the way the world works is that people do scratch your back, scratch mine, and that's the way our system works. So is that a problem? So on one hand, you say, oh, that's terrible, he's only doing it, he's doing it for ulterior motives. On the other hand, not necessarily. You could see how it's not so terrible. One could see, as long as he does it, you know, for people that this, for people that that, not necessarily for their votes, but that's the way the political system works. He wants to help out a community. So he knows you, so he's looking to help you out. That's built into the system, as opposed to the case of Sam Sofer. It's not built into the system that a rub with a rich cousin could pay off half of the town to vote for his cousin, right? But it is built into the system that people have a relationship with their politicians, and therefore could leverage that relationship in responsible ways, right? And that's probably an acceptable form of doing business. Does
that is to say that as long as they're offering the service to everyone,
right? Now you kind of want to avoid that. You don't want to say, well, they're offering that service to anyone who promises to vote for them, right?
I'm saying,
he's offering this service, right? Might not be the best way of saying it, but as long as when there are groups of people that have a certain demand, and it's assumed that that's the way the system will work. So okay, it's okay that the system will work that way. We don't have to take a stand against that. If I have something that I want to ask our account commissioner for from the shul, so I don't need to write the email anonymously so he doesn't know that it's the rabbi that he has a relationship with, right? You can.
You're also not going to write an email. I will vote for you if you do this,
right?
So it's,
yeah,
you may or may not. I'm just hoping.
Okay, so you're right.
I don't know. Maybe it's just, no. I guess as I asked a couple of seconds ago here about if people know that you will do them, that as a politician you'll do them favors,
mm-hmm.
and they're, then it's fine. if everybody knows that, or if it's because you know, we're in the district which this politician represents, and we need them to assist us with something.
No, so I would add even more. I would add even more for the Sam Sofer. I mean, the Sam Sofer said, what was his thing? He said the reason this is not good is because those people didn't have the good of the city in mind; rather, they had their own pockets in mind, right? And that's why their votes are nullified, right? So when a community goes and asks, you know, and calls their politician and says, you know, it's Rosh Hashanah, would you mind not doing electrical work right across the street from our shul? Right, that's what happened. Or they were cutting down trees or something a year or two ago. Right, would you mind not lining our street with tree cutters the day of Rosh Hashanah? Right, and he does. So he's not doing that necessarily because you're paying him off. Right, he's doing it because that's his job. His job is to do good things on behalf of the community, and it couldn't be. And it could be consumed under his job. All right?
Okay. Okay. Okay.
You're happier with that?
Yeah.
Okay. The Chazon Ish has these. Now, the Chazon Ish writes in Emunah and Bitachon. Now, Emunah and Bitachon is not the Chazon Ish's Sefer HaMsak. Right? His Sefer HaMsak is this thick, known as Sefer Chazon Ish, and he has a very small book about this thick called Emunah and Bitachon, which is his safer on Emunah and Bitachon, on having faith in the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So he has a chapter, a little discussion there about having faith in Rabbanim as well. And he writes here, V'hinei ein hazihiris hashochad miklal hamishpatim el miklal hachukim. He says this rule of shochad is not the rule of is not mishpatim is generally halachos that we apply in all cases. I mean, any time your judgment might be clouded, so there's a prohibition of shochad. He says it's not the case. Rather, it's from the rules of chukim, meaning it applies in certain cases, and it's not going to apply in other cases. Sharei lo aser Torah hora la'atzmo va'adam roa treifa li'atzmo. The Torah doesn't aser a person from passing shilas for themselves. Right? I wouldn't think this. Ain't shochad gadol mizu, right? I shecht my own animal. I know hilchos treifos, and I wanna, and now I feel it. Now I feel the lungs to see whether it's kosher or not. Right? So that's pretty big shochad, right? If I rule it kosher, so then I get the $1,000 that I would make off this animal. Right? If I rule a treif, so then I make the $50 off of selling it to a non-Jew. Right? So I clearly have a incentive to paskin lahakil on that, but yet the Chazon Ish says that's okay. Right? We assume that people are Yirei Shamayim, and they're going to vote. There is an aspect of shochad. There's an aspect of bribery. The Chazon Ish says, but bribery is relegated to specific terms, specific things. When a person is in charge of doing things on behalf of the tzibur, passing shilas doesn't fall under that, right? He says, v'hu mora b'chamish avol pesach achmor chush gadol. Same thing when you're passing a shila about chametz. These examples, chametz shavu of a pesach. So all of a sudden, you have a question about all the schnapps that was left over. So that there's a lot of money involved, right? And not only that, the person who's involved with schnapps in the Chazon Ish's world is probably Chazon Ish is already a little past that. But those people are generally the wealthy people in town that might have been supporting you in other ways as well. But yet the prohibition of shilas, right? What a rav is allowed to paskin shilas for his wealthy balabatin, right? Even though one might, you know, complain that there would be some amount of motivation involved there. So Rav Zilberstein again has these great collections of shilas. So he, it seems like the shila is discussing a doctor. So the minhag used to be, although I believe now there are rules against this, the way it used to work for doctors is, right, they would be given very lavish, it probably still works this way, they would be given lavish things by pharmaceutical companies or medical equipment companies and all that kind of stuff. Now, I think there is legislation against it, trying to control it, but I know someone in pain meds. He's still treated pretty well. So... So
slippery slope.
So is that okay?
Let's just move on.
Is that considered bribery of the doctor? Right, so that is his shaila. So Rav Zilberstein so there's two paragraphs here, as you could say. So the first paragraph he discusses, well, those people that are memunim al hatzibur, right, av ha'bochim b'misradli harishui, hagam shu mamono lipsol kli rechav ol hachshiram. Right, so what about that guy who is the automobile inspector, right? The guy who is supposed to be tested, right? So he's chosen by the government, right? He's a representative of the government to make certain assessments. Right, so he could makshir a kli. If he makshirs a kli rechav, he can makshir a car. He's not allowed to accept a present for that. Ulam al hatzmigim lo mamona v'chol bal rechav kona tzmigim b'makom shelibo chafetz. He says, however, let's say so to accept a bribe straight out and say, you know, here's a box of donuts if you say my car is okay, right? So he says that's not allowed. That's bribing a public official. He is, even though he's not elected, right? He's a public official. He's representing the public. He's representing the government. That would be prohibited. However, he says, let's say the tire company goes and gives him an incentive, right, to recommend their tire company. So that's the guy who needs a tire. He says, okay, go to this guy and go and well, you won't even say to not go to that guy. Here, you can go to this guy. He's good. So if that's the case, so any driver is allowed to go buy a new tire wherever he wants. So he's not considered a judge for that. He's considered a judge with regards to whether the car is good or whether the car is not good. But where the guy is going to go buy his tires, so he has no control over that. So that would be fine. He says, however, it's not so gishmak. Right, that there's one tire company giving him an incentive, right? So that's not so great. You have both, right? This in Israel, there was. I'm sure now others have caught on to this, but I remember my summer in Israel. There was a certain rest stop in the north that would give the driver free dinner if he would stop the bus there, right? So we seem to end up at this rest stop every, you know, a whole lot of times, right? So is that okay? Is it not okay? Well,
is the food any good?
I don't even remember if it was kosher. I remember not. I think it was like, you know, one of the camps. You know, that's the bathroom place, and the driver would go and eat. Right? I'm not sure if it was a place that we even ate at. But it was in there. You know, they sold cokes, they sold ice cream, they sold all the other stuff to these busloads of people. Right? So is that okay? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's definitely not usher. Maybe it's barusha davar mechur. Maybe it's not so pleasant to think about that. Right, says, however, if he's going to passel people in order to send there, that would be a problem. Obviously, but fine. So that's step number one.
So, is it okay for him to recommend tires?
So that's what he says. He says he thinks it's okay because he's not considered a shofet with regards to that. Right? He just has to go get a new tire. He says, however, is barusha davar mechur. He says he doesn't think that it's such a great thing. He says
the way it looks as much as
right. Right, right. So then he continues on with the doctors and says, so with regards to this, right, so shochad, right, bribery is only prohibited to a dayan, right, or somebody that's appointed over the tzibur, as opposed to a doctor. A doctor's not a public employee. A doctor's a doctor, right? So could a doctor recommend certain drugs over other drugs? So he says the same thing. It's not like paskening on whether the car is mutter or not, where you're a representative of the government. It's like telling a guy to go to one tire place over another tire place. So it says Rav Zilberstein. So assuming that he's going to still give the correct medical advice, right? Right. Yeah. So that's yes. Taken for granted. Assuming
because,
he's going to give
his professional standing, regardless of what he's getting, is still in play here.
Right.
And so, if he didn't give something that would do that, it would get out and he'd be toast.
Right. So he says that there's no prohibition involved.
Yeah.
However, he says the same thing. It's not so. It doesn't make you feel so good that doctors are being paid off to give you one medication over another medication. So that is his. That is his case. So that takes care of the. The mechanic with giving him stuff. So remember the first case that case in Shulchan Aruch about the that we gave about the giving the judge something. Sorry, a judge, right, is not prohibited from accepting things before the case starts. Right, before the case starts, we have a relationship. All right, so I gave the judge something. Right, the judge exempting himself would be what? Would be a midas chasidus. Right, be above and beyond the law. And even, like, for example, he knows that it might even affect him. Right, so a midas chasidus. So can you give the inspector a box of donuts before the case even starts? So it's l'chora, yeah. So it sounds like it would be okay. They further, this fellow Rabbi Fluke points out also that in our state, where it's not done officially, who does the inspection? The mechanic. So the mechanic has a incentive to fail you, right?
Always.
Right? The mechanic has incentive to fail you. So in a way, he's being bribed already. So for you to give him a box of donuts, perhaps could... Maybe you're not incentivizing him, you're just evening the scales a little bit. So perhaps...
Yeah, not by much if he's going to find $700 worth of stuff he's got to fix before he slaps the stick.
Yes, but this is, as we say in halacha, pas v'salo. This is...
Sometimes you go elsewhere, so it doesn't always work.
Right. No, he does have some incentives not to
fail you. You might as well invest some donuts and see if you can.
That's true. But
this thing about beforehand. Are we talking about?
Yeah.
I know I'm a judge, and I know Len, and he gives me a box of. Then he comes. A case comes up. Or are we talking? He already knows the case is coming.
Right. So you might turn to the Chazon Ish and say, "Well, the Chazon." Like in the American justice system, we know the case is coming because it's in action. But in the
therefore you'd have to bow out of the case.
Right. But in the case of a mechanic, or you would be allowed to give it to him, or you would be allowed to accept it. But in the case of a mechanic, it's a case as soon as he plugs the thing into the car.
So the case with the judge is probably you didn't know this guy was going to be coming for.
No, the case of the judge is the case that Shulchan Aruch is talking about is that the case hasn't started. Right.
There is no case.
Right. Just because there's something that happened in the past, it doesn't pass them down. Right. It's a case in Hilchos Dayonis, not a case, it's not a halacha in Hilchos bribery, Hilchos Shochad. But the extension you can make is, remember, the Chazon Ish said, it's a halacha, it's not a altruistic thing, right? That whenever you think there might be something tempting one way or the other, right? Okay. Yeah.
So, if in the past, if the judge knows the individual, and if that's some relationship with
so exempting him, himself would be a midas chasidus if he thinks that it would that there is a line here in the middle of the story from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that you don't have to be. That when it comes to midos, there's no prohibition of lifnei iver, right? There's no problem. I'm going to praise somebody a lot, right? So there's no, so that person might get haughty because of it. So do I have to be concerned that I'm not allowed to praise someone because he might become haughty? So the answer is no. Right, there's no prohibition of lifnei iver when it comes to a person's midos. So some invoke this idea from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter to say that that while it could be that it's a midas chasidus from the doctor not to accept these extra gifts, right? There's no prohibition in offering it to him. Yeah. There's no problem with the pharmaceutical company being the salesman. The problem is it's just a question with the doctor. The doctor has to make this decision for himself. Okay, it's a whole story that goes along with it, but we'll leave that for now. Okay, issues of cutting the line. So truth is, there is a if you go to YU Torah, there is this Rabbi Flug put a thing there on the issues on line issues with regards to putting somebody online to save your spot. Meaning, there's an hour line at the amusement park, and one person go online, and the other people could do another ride. I don't even know if that really works anymore. But is that okay? Or you go to the supermarket and you're in a rush, so one guy stands online, and everyone else goes and quickly gets stuff. Right? So, I'm not discussing those questions. If you want, there is a Shabbos table discussion pamphlet put out on YU Torah. Right? So you can go find it, download it, and discuss it over your Friday night discussion.
It's actually been institutionalized now. You go there, you pay extra money, and you can jump the line.
Right. But there, but that's part of the deal.
Like with the airlines, you pay extra fees.
Yeah, very good.
Right. So that will include the institutionalization of it. So that will be covered in the sources that we have. So the Gemara tells us in Halachah in Sanhedrin Daf Ches, Akatem Gadol Tishmeun. Right. The pasuk tells us you have to listen to the small and the large cases. Like you have to listen to the small cases like the large cases. So Amar Reish Lakish Shehi. So Reish Lakish says, so that it has to be as important to you the halacha having to do with a pruta with a small amount of money, as the same as if it had 100 mana, a lot of money. So l'may hilchus. So what? What does that mean? What does it mean as important to you? So right? If it means that you have to put as much effort into it, that you have to research it as the same, right? The same. You have to put as much research into a small amount of money as you do in the case of a large amount of money. So the Gemara says pshita. That's obvious. Right, which is interesting that it's pshita, but that, the guy says that's obvious, of course, because we're not really dealing with money, we're dealing with halachos, right? And so it's the same psak, right, the same shaila, right, is not necessarily searching for the money, we're searching for the emes, we're searching for the truth, and therefore it's going to require the same amount of research. It says elo l'akdume, rather, what does it mean in terms of the order of cases? Just because it is a large amount of money, right, one does not get bumped up on the list of cases, right? The list of cases are going to stay the same. Okay, who gets to go first, right? So the rule is whoever came first goes first, right? That's the assumption. Whoever gets to go first goes first. So there's another Gemara in Sanhedrin that seems to discuss, okay, what happens if you have a tie? So tzedek tirtof. One should always seek tzedek. So echad l'dinim, echad l'pshara. Right, whether it's going to be with regards to the halacha or whether it's going to be regards to the compromise. So ketzad. So shtei sfinos ovros benar upagazu zebze. So the case is two ships are going in a river and they reach one another. Right? Im ovros shteihem shteihem tovas. Right? This is a narrow pass. So if they both go, they're gonna sink. Right? Beze achre ze shtein ovros. But if they go one after another, so then they're both going to pass. Bechein shnei gilmalim. And so too with two camels. Shayu olim b'malos base choron upagu zebeze, that they have these packages right on them, and they meet one another, or they come to a pass. Malos base choron, they come to some kind of pass that they're going to have to. The ascent of base choron is a proper noun, okay? Where only one camel can pass at a time. Im olu shneim shneim nochlim. They both go up, they both fall off. So b'zachar zeh shneim olim. If they go one after another, they both go up. Right. This is the this is actually a very famous Gemara in Israel history. Anybody know where this Gemara shows up in Prime Minister of Israel history? Going once, going twice. The story goes that when they were having the debates about women serving in the army. This isn't like the story goes. This is what happened, right? When Haredi woman would serve in the army, and the Haredim got all upset about it, right, and threatened to leave, and it was Yehoram Galyavar, and no way will he ever draft our women. So Ben Gurion went to visit the Chazanish. You have heard this before, right? So Ben Gurion goes to visit the Chazanish. There's a lot of folklore about this story, but Ben Gurion goes to the Chazanish's house in Bnei Brak, and the Chazanish. And Ben Gurion said to him, we have two people. We don't have two people. We're all Amichad. We're all one nation. But we seem to be very divided. How are we going to possibly be able to live together? Right? Rather than get after him with the guard. So he raises this very big altruistic question. So the Chazanish answered with this Gemara, that you have two camels that meet each other, right? Both have needs, and they both need to go, but there's really only one's going to be right. So who goes first, right? So shteim olim. So hake, what do you do? Tu'una v'she'ena tu'una, titcha she'ena tu'una v'fnei tu'una. When you have one that is laden with packages and one that isn't, the one that is laden with packages gets to go first. That's the answer the Chazanish gave him. He says, so we have the Torah mitzvah, so therefore our way of life is going to win out. That's the implication that the Chazanish gave. Okay, so I was thinking about maybe doing that like a Shal Shinas. What exactly, going through that story again, but save it for another time. Anyways, Krovish ain't a Krova. Titcha Krovi Fnei She'ena Krova. So when one is close and one is not close, so the one that is not so close gets to go first. Right, so these are ways of resolving this issue. So what do we see from this Gemara? Right, from this Gemara, we see that there are other values. It's not just who comes first. You know, in this case, it seems like it was a tie, right? But there are other values with regards to who's going to win, right? That we look at who needs to go. If somebody has a greater need than another person, then that person is going to get to go first. So right, when you go to a hospital emergency room, right, and one guy is there because they have a fever, and another guy comes in with a bullet wound, right, so the bullet wound is going to get treated first, right, because he has a more important need. Fine. So there is I didn't give a case for this, so this very flu has the following case. He says if you have a woman goes to a doctor's office and she's always stuck with her kids, right? She's always stuck waiting there for an hour, right? So then he says that she was about to leave the doctor's office, and then her niece gets a job as the receptionist there. So she allowed to go to the receptionist and ask her to be bumped up in the line. Right, that's the Shaila. So based on this so far, well, not necessarily, right? Because all we've seen so far is if that person has a greater need, they can be bumped up in the line, right? So perhaps, so forget about whether you can, whether the park, you could pay extra for the speed pass for the rides, but if you have, those kids, like handicapped kids, right? So they get to pass the line also. Right? Why? So I guess the theory is because they have a greater need. Right? That would be the way one would fit into halacha. Whatever. I'll save the comment from off tape. So comes the Gemara Nedarim and says, I'll give you another example of a person who gets to cut the line. And please believe me that I am not. I have no self motivation in this. Amar Rava Shari Leilat Surba Me Rabbanon Lemeimar Surba Me Rabbanon Ana Sharu Li Tigrei Bereisha. Rava says it is permissible for a Rav, or a rabbinical scholar, not necessarily even a rabbi, but a rabbinical scholar to say, please put me ahead in the case. Tichsiv, uvnei David, right? How do we know this? Right? A person could say, I'm a rabbi, please bump me up. So it says, uvnei David kohanim hayu makoin notel berosh, af tamad chacham notel berosh. The pasuk tells us that the sons of David were kohanim. Obviously, they were not kohanim if they were the sons of David, right? But he means that they're kohanim and that they should get to go first because they're scholars and therefore they should be able to go. They should be able to go first. Now, why should they be able to go first? So Rashi says, "Hikdimu dine l'shalachir mishvil kavod torasa." Right. On one hand, it's because of kavod Torah. The Rashi explains, "No, pasku li dine kadei shelo isbatel melimudai." Right. I should get to go first so that I don't have any bittel Torah. So what does that imply? It implies that if it's not an issue of bittel Torah, meaning the Rav is not on his way to, the Rav can't say on a at a ski resort, "Oh, please let me go to the front of the line, because I'm a rabbi." Well, so what? Right? So you're going skiing just like the rest of us. Right? However, when it does come to, you need to do something in order so they can get back to his learning, so one can make the case that they should be able to go first. The Chuvos van Hagos, just to skip to the bottom right, Chuvos van Hagos of Rav Sternbach, see, he writes that, yes, that might be true, that might be that that's the halacha, however, the Rav is not supposed to point it out. Meaning, it is true that the rabbi should be bumped to the front of the line, however, right, it's not for him to point it out, it's for the other people to realize it. Right, the rabbi has to point it out, so then that's not the point. The point is for the people to realize that he's there, and let's then give him the Kavarat Torah. So he says, although the case in the Durham does seem to be where the rabbi is pointing it out, he says he thinks that that's not the appropriate way is for the people to notice it. And if the Rav gets there and they don't know that he's a rabbi, right? Can imagine that happening, right? So they don't know. So there's no mitzvah for him to tell them, "Oh, I'm a rabbi. Please let me go first." Rather, it's a mitzvah for him to take it as a lesson, right? That or for him to kind of work on his patience a little bit. Mitzido, right, the fourth line in that little section there, on the Mitzido, Roy Lola Tamar Chacham Lishtad Shola Triachal Tzibur. Right, it's up to him to not bother the Tzibur. So on one hand, right, they could say you should go ahead, but he doesn't have to push them because it's going to be a tircha and a tzibur, and therefore he is a mitzvah not to be matriach, not to pain or delay the congregation. The Okay. Let's. Okay. So what is the case with that in terms of these kadimas? So perhaps one can distinguish between when it is their own case or when it is someone else's case. I mean, can this woman, who is the receptionist, can she bump her aunt up? Right? Does she have the right to do that? So let's give you those last two cases. There's a Sefer Avos Chesed by the Chafetz Chaim. And the Sefer Avos Chesed is kind of a halachicization of Chesed. That's what it does. It's all the halachos of giving out loans and giving out tzedakah and those kinds of things. So there is a lot of kadimus when it comes to tzedakah. Right? If you want to know about kadimus, you can take a look there. So he has two different halachos. He says, if you are the gabai tzedakah for the congregation, so do you have the right to say, oh, well, my cousin, I should give him more because he's my family member? So no, because you are not in charge. You're a memuna ala tzibur. You're representing the congregation. However, if it is your company, if it is your tzedakah, so obviously you're going to give to somebody over other people.
Yeah.
Right. So in terms of bumping someone up in the line, does one have the right to bump someone up in the line? It says, well, if you're representing someone else, then you don't. Right? If you're representing a government or you're representing the congregation, right, so then you don't have the right to bump somebody else up just because he's related to you. It says, however, if it is a private practice, so then you can do whatever you want. If you're a private practice, you have the right to decide the line. If you're a private practice, you have the right to say, you know what, I've decided that I'm going to take the day off and tell your waiting room to, you know, you can come back another time. Now, it could very well be that they're not going to come back another time, but you have the right to do that. You have the right to decide, you know, how you're going to work the policies in your doctor's shop, a doctor's office, or your restaurant, or your amusement park, right? And you have the full right to say, listen, you want to pay me an extra $20 and you can skip all the lines. So, I'll take the extra $20 for you to skip all the lines. So that would be permitted. What about if you're the receptionist? So the receptionist is a little bit of a hazy area, because the receptionist isn't working for themselves. The receptionist, in theory, is working for the doctor. So if the doctor tells them, listen, you know, these are the policies, so you have to go by the doctor's policies. However, if the doctor says, listen, you're the receptionist, you have to, you know, you can do things as you might want. You could. So then, if you have that kind of permission or that clout, so then you would have the ability to bump your aunt up with all of her five kids that are screaming in the waiting room.
But if the boss doesn't give any direction at all,
so if the boss, so there has to be is like an question of, is there an implied consent? You know, different types of offices will work different ways based on seniority and things like that. Right? So in terms of the line cutting thing, so we're not necessarily talking about you cutting the line. Well, we're talking about the rub cutting the line, so a person should try to avoid cutting the line. But in terms of kind of paying someone off to bump you up on the list, so that seems like it would depend. If the person has the personal right to do so, then they can. But if they don't, they don't. Right? So you take this into areas like, I don't know, organ donations. Right? So do you, right? So who are you representing when you have the, who owns the organs before and decide where they go to? I don't even know. I just thought of the question right now. I'm not sure, but that already takes this to a pretty far level, which I guess we'll have to save for another time. Okay, so you should go for coming.
My mother always used to complain. She was a kosher bakery in Brush Beach. And in would come the publisher of the Jewish Press, and he would get taken right away. Say, the pnei, they always take the pnei.
Well, actually, they have the right, so that's allowed. Right, but a baker in communist Russia that's working on behalf of the government perhaps wouldn't be allowed to do that.